September 2004, Bournemouth, England. The prodigal son had returned, stood in the doorway of a Dorset pub, unattractively cross-eyed watching the rain drip from the end of my nose. I realised the travelling experience had changed me. The transition ironically made me feel as nervous as the day I gingerly sloped into the arrivals hall in New Delhi. I shook my head regretfully. Inside the four walls that lay before me, everything would be exactly the same as when I'd left. "Alan's got a girlfriend," I said, spitting the beer back into my pint glass. "Well, yeah," said Bob. "We assumed you knew." "Knew?" I wiped the spittle from my mouth with the back of my hand. "Just exactly how was I supposed to know? Didn't you get our texts? Did anyone bother to read my emails, more to the point? My phone's been out of action for months." "And I suppose that's our fucking faults, is it?" Jimmy waded in with his usual subtlety. Everyone knew this wasn't about who had or hadn't sent emails or texts. The root of the problem was buried much deeper. Jimmy and Maria were still in a long-term item. Ellie and Bob were still engaged and had relocated back to Dorset in anticipation of married life. Now, even Alan had a girlfriend. I remained the last man standing. It didn't help today was Mel's 30th birthday. "I can't believe I didn't know this. Why didn't anyone mention this in any of their emails? This is big news." "It's not that big," said Jimmy nonchalantly. "In all the years I've known Alan, he's never had a girlfriend." "Well, I don't know if she's technically his girlfriend." Bob tried to play it down. "I've never even known him go on a date," I said despairingly. "No, yeah, he did." The intense concentration on Jimmy's face as he racked his brains made me smile. It was obvious he was already struggling. "Remember that time with what's-her-face?" He stared at Bob for inspiration. Bob gazed blankly into space. "If you're talking about the girl with the thick glasses, that's the one." Jimmy rocked back on his chair, clicking his fingers. Bob continued to look puzzled. "It was one date to a cinema, 7 years ago," I said. "So?" "So," I threw my hands up in the air, "it's hardly fucking Romeo and Juliet, was it?" "There was that other girl with a lisp," Bob interjected. "Okay, can we just slam the brakes on the loony train here?" "Yeah, I remember her," Jimmy started. "No, but you don't, Jimmy, do you?" I interrupted sharply. "Because no one ever met her, apart from Alan, allegedly. And he only dated her for, what, 20 minutes? I seem to recall she went home, had to get changed after Alan spilled beer all over her. He never saw her again." There was a stony silence. I'd made my point. "How long's this been going on for?" I asked solemnly, as if inquiring about some illicit affair. "I don't know, a few weeks?" Bob looked at his feet. Jimmy scanned both our faces. "For fuck's sake, you two. Can't you be happy for the bloke?" I am, I said with a certain amount of guilt. "It's just..." "Yeah, we know," mocked Bob. "You're a sad loser." "Well, I'm the only sad loser you could find to be your best man," I said belligerently. Bob shrugged his shoulders. We sat in silence. I sipped my beer, scanning the defensive faces across the table. "Anyway," Bob sighed, attempting to lighten the mood, "we should be talking about your travels." Jimmy rolled his eyes in apathy.